Tonight I'm going to be talking about choosing a good mate. The Bible speaks quite a bit on how husbands and wives should act, and before you become husbands and wives, you need to make sure you find that right person, because we know that marriage is a bond that God makes that no man can break. So if we choose the wrong person, we're going to have a rough time. So I got some points up here that'll help you to figure out how to choose a right mate and to see if you are that right mate for somebody. Most of the text is coming from 1 Peter, and there's a few verses throughout the New Testament and Old Testament that we'll look at also. A little introduction. Many people, many if not most people, spend a fair chunk of their time trying to reach a decision regarding who they will marry. Sadly, most leave this important choice to impulsive feeling. Little thought is given. Others agonize over this decision because they aren't certain that they should be what they should be looking for. They want a perfect mate and are afraid they might make a mistake. Reality is, feelings can be manipulated. They are rarely stable and they do change. And feelings are a miserable guide for decisions. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28, and we'll read verse 26. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Says, whoever trusts his own mind is a fool, but who walks in wisdom will be delivered. No one is perfect. We all have flaws. But that doesn't mean there isn't a criteria we should consider. I want to present some things that you might think about before selecting someone for your spouse. And also, what kind of partner you're selecting yourself to be. These are the spiritual qualities that we should have and that we should be looking for in others. The first one is honesty, or being honest. It goes without saying, but one of the root of love is mutual trust. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 6 and 7. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Honest. How can we trust someone who lies? Turn with me to Psalms, the fifth Psalms, in verse 9. Psalms 5 and 9. For there is no truth in their mouth, their inmost self is destruction. A dishonest man doesn't make a good provider. Turn one book over to Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Chapter 31, and verse 11 in Proverbs states, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. We see that verse talking about an honest wife brings safety into a relationship. Honesty was my first point on here. So we need to realize that we don't need to make any excuse. We need to be honest. My next spiritual quality is trustworthy. People today tend to demand trust. Trust isn't given, trust is earned. How is trust earned? Through time for observation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. We need to be trustworthy. Marriage is based on a covenant. Turn with me to Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 14. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and your wife, out of your mouth, to whom you have been faithfulness. We see right here that Judah was, he had become faithless with his wife. Reading on. Though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. So we see right here, even in the Old Testament, it was the relationship, the marriage between a husband and a wife is a covenant. That means that you should have confidence and trust each other. And you should see that the person that you're looking for, that you should be able to trust, that they will be trustworthy and will be able to keep that covenant with you. And when you're choosing that mate, you look at them and you see how they demonstrate it, not how they speak it. Everybody can speak a game, but it's those who carry it out that we need to be looking for. On trustworthiness, immoral people usually break their word. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs, in the second chapter, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they reign the paths of life. So we see that in this example right here, she was a untrustworthy person and immoral, and she broke her word. If a person is willing to break God's laws, how will you know they will honor your marriage covenant? Our next spiritual quality is forgiving. People make mistakes. There are also going to be disagreements, even in the best marriage. The fact means that we're going to be at times where you and your spouse are going to have to apologize when being wrong. It would make sense to look for someone who is able to forgive. It is a requirement for Christians. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15. Matthew 6 and verse 15. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we see right here, if we're not willing to be forgiven, God won't forgive us. So it's a spiritual quality that we need to have and we need to look for in our mate. It is necessary for love thinks no evil or does not take part in account when the wrong suffered. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. To love one another, you have to be able to forgive. Or for true love, you should be able to forgive. This is going into the ways to love. Starting in verse 5 is, or rude, it does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. So we see right here that it's forgiving. Don't marry someone who says they forgive, but never lets the past go, whether it's for you or someone else. My next spiritual quality is to be humble, or that accepts correction. Because each of us make mistakes, we're going to, at times, need to correct each other. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. In verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates reproof is stupid. People who can't receive correction will continually to make mistakes, which impacts all aspects of life. Turn over to chapter 13 and verse 18. Chapter 13 and verse 18. Poverty and disgrace comes to him who ignores instructions, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. As with all Christians, a good quality in a marriage and a partner is humility, a lack of self-pride. Turn back two chapters to chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Chapter 13 and verse 10. By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. So we see here that a good quality in a mate, a good spiritual quality in a mate, is someone who can take correction. Again, we make mistakes from time to time, and we need to be able to take that constructive criticism. I know it's hard for me sometimes, and I'm sure it's hard for each and every one of us. Humility and being humble is to me, is one of the hard qualities that I struggle with sometimes. Confident. Being confident doesn't always mean cocky or self-pride. It doesn't mean, just because you're confident doesn't mean you have a lot of self-pride. A husband is expected to love his wife. Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 25, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 28. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. I'm sorry, Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, it's in verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the times to come. So right here, she has the strength and dignity, and she's confident in what she does in this woman they portray in chapter 31. But that didn't mean she was self-prideful. Don't marry someone who lives in constant fear or runs themselves down. We need to be confident. How can we teach our kids and how can we guide our spouse if we're not confident? Discretion, good judgment. Throughout marriage, choices will have to be made. Do you want someone who makes impulsive decisions or someone who thinks things through? Hasty people tend to be poor. Let's turn back a few chapters in Proverbs to chapter 21. In verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. If you don't have the good judgment, good discretion, we tend to make foolish mistakes. Let's go over a few chapters in Proverbs to chapter 29. Chapter 29 and verse 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. We need to make sure that we make good decisions. It's a really good quality, a really good spiritual quality to have discretion. Worthy women consider before buying. Let's turn it over to the Proverbs 31, chapter 31. And verse 16. Proverbs 31 and verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. So we see right here in the first sentence, she considers a field. She didn't just run out there and didn't make any planning. She thought it out through. She made a very good decision. She had good judgment. She went out there and then she bought it. And then she, with her hands, grew fruit, and she planted a vineyard. One way to check for discretion is how quickly do we get angry? Proverbs 19 and verse 11 states, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. We see these few verses and few things that we need to think about discretion, having good judgment. We can't just, sometimes you have to act off of instinct, but finding a mate is not one of them. My last spiritual quality that I chose, and there's many more, but I just picked a few. It's patient. We got to be patient. Not everything will be available immediately. If you ask my wife, she says that that's how I am. I want everything now. So I'm not very patient at times. Some things just take time. Patience gets a person through tough times and is able to continue. Let's turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for the glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. So we see that God states here that patience is a quality we need to have. If we don't have it, we see at the end of verse 8 that there will be wrath and fury. not something I want to participate in. But love is patient and not for instant gratification. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not ignorant. So we see that patience is a very good quality to have. And if we truly love or are going to love somebody for the rest of our earthly life, patience is something we're going to have. Next are some actions that we need to demonstrate or to have. To be industrious means not being lazy, hardworking. Marriage is two people working together in a family. Turn with me to Proverbs 31 and verse 13. Proverbs 31, started in verse 13. We'll look at here the descriptions of a worthy woman. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 13. I'll be reading through 19. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ship of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night. She provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants the vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold not splendor. So we do see that this description of a hardworking woman, we see that she portrays no laziness. A person who spends most of their time playing video games is not going to make a good spouse. We need to work at things that we we need to work for things, and the younger we start working for them, the sooner we'll realize that it takes a lot of effort. Once you get married, like I said, according to the Bible, that's where you, for lack of better words, that's where you're stuck. That's the choice you made. You need to work at it, and if decisions come up and things, we need to make sure that we have the right spiritual qualities to be able to react to them and fix the problem. Don't let problems keep going. We need to not be lazy. We need to work at those things. My next action is to be kind. Marriage involves two people living close together. There's going to be times in the marriage when you will get on each other's nerves. Look for someone who is kind for others, even when treated badly. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Love is kind. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll read verse 4 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. So we see that qualities of true love is to be kind. Why would we consider someone who is rude and ungrateful? Just think about it. If you're talking to somebody and they just be rude and be ungrateful and be not kind back to you, remember that once you marry them, they're not going to change. nine times out of 10, people still are the same way they are. Now, people do change. I'm not saying people don't, but if they have the qualities when you're dating, they're probably gonna have the same qualities when you get married. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 3 and 4. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both. So we see that wrath is the opposite of being kind. And it says right here, a stone is heavy and a sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both. Usually from these type of people that are not kind-hearted, usually you get some kind of abuse from. So we need to check the qualities of the people that we're dating. Remember, the people that we date are candidates for marriage. At least they should be. Why date somebody if you don't ever plan on marrying them? My next action is good moral. The righteous and the unrighteous cannot get along. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 through 19. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has the light with the darkness? What accord has Christ with Baal? Or what portion does have a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst, and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will become you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. But we see the unrighteous and the righteous, they don't get along. The fact is, evil tends to drag down the good. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. I'm sorry to tell you, if you're that one good person in the group, chances are your friends are going to take you down with them. It's really hard and tough. You can't, in being a righteous person, there's no gray area. So if you're hanging around with unrighteous people, you're either going to be righteous or unrighteous, and chances are the unrighteous will take you down. It says right here, good, don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Some behaviors that we should portray. Polite. We should be polite. Little things such as carefully choosing one's words can go a long ways and make life pleasant. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Politeness is usually an indication of wisdom. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool will consume him. And politeness benefits others. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but preservedness in it breaks the spirit. Turn one chapter over to chapter 16 and verse 2. Chapter 16 and verse 21. The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases preservedness. So we need to be polite to each other, and it goes with friends, family, and people we meet from day to day. Our politeness will be probably something that they see that is a Christian-like attribute that we have, a behavior. Listens. We need to seek out someone who listens. Listening to what other person say actually avoids time, actually says often avoids problems. Turn to me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. So if we listen to something someone else says, usually it will avoid problems. Or if we didn't hear what they said, ask them to say it again. People often think they are listening, but they're not. We're too busy thinking about why the person's saying something and assigning motives. As a result, we also often miss the facts. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So instead of trying to figure out what their ulterior motive is, let's just listen to what they got to say and work to a solution. One way listening is demonstrated is when a person remembers things you said days and weeks and years later. So let's have one of these good behaviors and listen. No greater compliment can be given to show another one that his words are worth being heard and thought about if you listen and remember. Another good behavior we need to have and to search for is peaceful, somebody who's peaceful. There are numerous reasons and warnings given about contention. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And verse 13. A foolish son is ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is like a continuous drip of rain. Turn over a couple chapters to chapter 21. In verse 9, it is better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. So we see these couple examples right here, and also in verse 19. It is better to live in desert land than with a quarrelsome feudal woman. So we see that these few examples are no peace. We need the opposite of that. We need to have peacefulness. I'm amazed how many people that they don't even get along with, And then you see him go off and on again, and then it's like trying to follow a tennis ball in a tennis match. So what do you think your marriage is going to be like? I mean, if you continuously dating this person and breaking up with them and then dating them again, and then, you know, what is marriage going to be like when you can't go on and off? Optimistic. There are going to be bad times in any marriage. It is optimism, hope, which pulls people through it. Proverbs chapter 18. Turn back a few chapters to chapter 18. And verse 14. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? Worry can consume a person and keep them from making any move. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that we see here that we need to be optimistic. We don't need to always be thinking the negative things. That is why love always hopes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Sober. We need to be sober. Moses warned about fooling yourself into these things that you can have peace while chasing after alcohol. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 18. Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord your God to go serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. So when you see right here, we need to be sober minded. A fine quality in older man is soberness. Is that that's one you should look for in a mate. Let's turn to Titus. Titus chapter 2, we see here some qualifications for deacons. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not the right one. But yeah, Titus chapter 2. Older men are to be sober-minded, diligent, self-controlled, sound in faith, love, and steadfastness. Drunkenness and drugs can lead to violence. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and who is led astray by it is not wise. Responsible. We need to be responsible. Have you ever seen a person who plays the role of a victim? Nothing is ever their fault. Nothing gets fixed because they are certain that they have no involvement in the case. Good spouses are strong and brave. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, be responsible. 1 Timothy, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his family, he has denied the faith and is worse than the unbelievable. It's our responsibility to take care of our families. And if you can't take care of your family before you get married, then how are you think you're going to take care of your new family? Being married takes a lot of responsibility. You don't want to be with someone who looks to get out of their duties. You want to find someone that loves others. One attribute of an excellent wife is her generosity. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 20. Proverbs 31 and verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She loves others. Far too many people are possessive in their love. They act like there are a limited amount of love, and so it can't be shared with others without limiting their own. But love has no upper limits. Turn to chapter 1 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. And this is my prayer, that you love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. So we see right here that a good quality is that you love others. Another behavior we need to have is loves you. That person that you're trying to seek to marry, that loves you. You would think this goes without saying, that marry someone who loves you. Of course, a great deal of problems comes from not knowing what love is. Too many things are called love, which they're not. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As far as prophecies, they will pass away. As far as tongues, they will cease. As far as knowledge, it will pass away. So we see that love are these things. What women should look for? Women need to look for a leader, a man that's a leader. A man you pick for your husband is the one that you choose to lead your household. Just as the church looks for men to rule well, a woman should look for the beginning of those qualities as well. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 2. Here's the qualities of the elders. Starting in verse 2, it says, therefore, an overseer must be above all reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, but not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his household, how can he take care of God's church? That's a good quality for a woman to look for in a man. Leadership isn't just about demanding every decision. The worthy woman did much on her own and had her husband praised as a result. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll see here that she was praised by her husband for the things that she did. Starting in verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praised her. Leadership is about guiding in the general direction. It is about going first and asking people to follow you. Another quality a woman should look for in a man is a provider. Christians know the value of work because it's something we do daily to make it, to be able to make it to heaven. We have to work at being a Christian. There's no idleness of being a Christian. A person who spends more of their time out of work than in work won't be able to support a family. If a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. That's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. One thing managers look for on resumes is job history. He knows that if a person bounces around from job to job or has long gaps in between employment, he won't make it a good employee. And guess what? They also make miserable providers. A person who thinks too much about money is not a good provider because he is reluctant to spend money when it's needed. Security. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your own wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So we see that a good quality for a woman to look for is for a man that will give up his life for her as Christ gave his life up for the church. Qualities a man should look for: nurturing. Most marriages end up with children. Let's turn to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. And verses 3-5. Behold, children are the heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in their hands of a warrior are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. So men need to look for a woman that will nurture and raise their children up. Let's turn to Titus. Titus chapter 2. In verse 4, it would make sense that we need to find a woman who loves children. So train the young women to love their husbands and children. So we see right here, talking about older women, we need to train the younger women to love their husbands and love their children. Guess it helps if I click. A quiet spirit. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. 'Do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry are the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be hidden within the person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is God's sight, is very precious.' So thing a man should look for is not a flashy woman. You want the good qualities to be within. And thing we need to also look for is not for looks or not for charm, because those pass away. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. And verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Christians usually make the best mates. And I know it's not always, sometimes it's hard to find a Christian mate. But if you do, then you got to be the strong one and try to bring them to God. So many problems can be avoided with two people that share the same fate. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if They do not obey the word, that they may be won without the word, by the conduct of their wives. Then you see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and putting on of gold or jewelry or clothing you wear, but let your adorning be with hidden in the person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is precious. For this is how the holy women who hope in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frustrating. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs to you with the grace of life, so that as your prayers may not be hindered. So we see, if we choose a Christian, they're more likely to have these qualities than choosing a worldly person. When you come to consider one for marriage, look at who they are, not who you hope they will become. So many people marry their hopes instead of the person in front of them, and they are dismayed to find out that they got the person in front of them. Yes, people do change, so look for the changed person, not the dream person. Marriage is a lifelong decision. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verses 4 through 6. He answered, "Have you not read that he who was created from them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." So we see right here that it's a lifelong decision. What God brings together, man is not supposed to separate. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. 'A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord.'" So we see right here that, and this goes from men too, so we see that it's a lifelong decision, and we also see that if we put God first and serve him, that all these qualities should come all in together. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 and verses 15, we see here that Joshua says, "If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers serve in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. This will be my last verse. Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 and 38. "And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment.'" So we see that Choosing a mate is a very, very big decision that we do. It's a lifelong decision that we make. If we can hone on these qualities that I've talked about here tonight, and there's other ones that I didn't mention, but if we can hone on these qualities for ourselves and the person that we choose, the chances of our marriage lasting peacefully will more than likely happen. I don't know the hearts and the minds of everybody here tonight, but if you haven't been baptized and you feel the need that you need to be baptized, why not now? And if you've been baptized and you've fallen away and you need prayers and our help, come as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.